The following audio is via a Skype call.
What were you expecting, a visit from the Tooth Fairy?
TGIF, everybody. I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We are Mance and Mitchell in your ear for the hour. At least that's our humble intention, because we bring you great guests and sometimes strange, arcane subject matter that becomes just a bit less mysterious because of the interviews we do with people you want to hear from. But before we move on, and this is going to turn out to be for the first time ever, first time in my recollection, Ouija Friday.
Friday the 13th, Ouija Friday.
Fascinating and controversial topic, and we brought an expert par excellence to discuss Ouija boards, talking boards, which turns out to have a much longer tradition than I ever knew. But before we bring on...
Who's on the bench? Who are we bringing off the bench today?
I'm telling you, off the bench, out of the bullpen, and into the game... Taylor Jacobs. Taylor, you're taking the place of bad boy Benny. Are you ready for such awesome responsibility?
Yeah, it's big shoes to fill, both literally and figuratively. But I am ready and willing to be that guy for Mance and Mitchell for this hour.
Well, we have worked with you before, always to great acclaim. We love working with you, Taylor, so this is going to be a great hour, I'm sure, with you at the helm, making sure we stay on air.
Thank you kindly.
Through the good graces of her former publicist, nice lady Francine, made us aware some time back of our guest of this hour, a special guest with tremendous experience and a lot of expertise about Ouija boards. Many people know it generically as a talking board, and you'll know that from pop culture. Talking board, witch board, Ouija board. I saw The Exorcist. Well, is it all that? Or is that only one aspect of this fascinating tool of divination and spirit communication, which has a surprisingly long history and is connected to, I think, mystery schools and spirit communication generally, but I'm not the one with the answers. Karen A. Dahlman is. One of her books, is called The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. And Karen A. Dahlman is certainly entitled to her mad props, at least in brief. Suzanne, why don't you do the honors?
Karen A. Dahlman began her career as a licensed and board-certified art therapist, hypnotherapist, and counselor after graduating from the University of Mexico with both her bachelor and master's degrees. In 1999, she founded CVC Inc., a consulting and utility design firm for wireless carriers, and continues as chief executive officer today. Karen shares the process of balancing the right and left hemispheres of the brain for maximum personal growth. Her first book is The Spirits of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, published in 2012. And the book we're going to talk about today, The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, which was published in 2013. Karen Dahlman, first timer, welcome to Mance and Mitchell.
Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Gary. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we're so happy, finally, for the chance to talk to you. We've been anticipating this hour for quite some time. Once we locked in the date and had to change it once, as a matter of fact, bless you for being so accommodating. I did want to ask you, Karen, well, I want to ask you a lot of things, but if you're working in wireless, wouldn't you say that Ouija boards are the ultimate in wireless communication?
Absolutely. In fact, I call my Ouija board the cosmic phone because it reaches out to many levels of consciousness and sentient beings. So, yeah, I put the analogy there between the two industries.
You know, well, first of all, there's a little point of pride for me in knowing that the Ouija board is intimately tied up with Baltimore, Maryland, my birthplace. And that factors the city of Edgar Allan Poe, after all, has something to do with Ouija, with spiritualist tradition. And by the way, just for the sake of full disclosure, you may be interested to know, Karen, that Suzanne and I belong to an independent metaphysical spirituality church that honors mediumship, practices the principles of spiritualism here in Sarasota, Florida, where we reside. And so naturally, this becomes something of a topic in our wheelhouse. I said all that in order to tell you a little story, and I will be brief because we want to hear from you. It was 1966, Karen. I was riding in the back of my cousin's automobile when somebody told me about this latest thing from Parker Brothers, and thereby hangs a tale. Parker Brothers had this board out, and it was really fun, and it's called a Ouija board. And so they pulled out the board as soon as we got home, and I got a chance to look for the first time ever at the Ouija board box with this rather foreboding-looking spirit, very dark and mysterious, to say the least. And I thought, what a cool thing, and that scared the hell out of me anyway, because who was I going to be communicating with? I'm going to communicate with spirits? What, up in heaven, in this mysterious realm? What are we talking about here? And yet there at the bottom was the reassuring name, Parker Brothers, and I thought, oh, well, this must be some kind of fun toy, not unlike parlor magic of a bygone era, but it's much richer and a deeper history than that. So, Karen, why don't you begin by educating us about the history of Ouija boards and how they came into existence?
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned 1966, because that is the year Parker Brothers bought the board from the Fold Company. And the Fold Company had it pretty much since its inception. The board was born back in about 1890, you can call it that, and the patent was granted in 1891. So it does go way back. Now I'm just talking about the Ouija board. There's also the witch board, which was around a little bit before that. And there were various devices that were out there that were similar, but not quite what we know as the Ouija board. So the Ouija board is really the one that it's in our psyches of the United States. We know the Ouija board. And so it was 1891. Moving forward, the Fold family had it for many years up until they sold it in 1966. And when it was sold to Parker Brothers, by the way, it outsold their number one selling game back then, which was Monopoly.
Wow.
Yeah. It has a really interesting history because when it came out after the big spiritualist movement in the mid-1800s, it became a way for people really to do their seances themselves. You open the box and you can do a seance right out of the box. You didn't need to go to all these groups, and you could start, you know, speaking to your dead loved ones and relatives from the wars that were going on. And then, of course, we had World War I and World War II. It really allowed people to reach out to the beyond. And they took it as a natural thing. It wasn't a scary thing like it's become now. The board wasn't ominous. It wasn't bad. Sure, there are always stories that people told, as there always is around some type of divination tool. There's always a story to be told. There's the mythology and the folklore that follow it around. It's just that Ouija really suffered a bad rap, you know, to its name. But they used it casually and openly. In fact, most homes had them, let's say around the 20s and 30s. They would pull the board out after dinner, maybe with some cocktails, maybe not. Really shouldn't be drinking and doing the board, but that's another story we can get into. But they would pull the board out and use it with their friends, with their family, and just speak to the spirits. And it was just a natural, normal thing to do. But it wasn't really until Hollywood took a hold of it and really ran with it. The stories that were starting to develop around the board and the mysteriousness about it. And, you know, it was actually December 26, 1973, when The Exorcist came out. And, of course, they had that about a minute and a half episode where Reagan, the gal, who really was a boy in real life, that became possessed, and it was the girl, and she was talking to, as you guys know, Captain Howdy, and then that became the spirit, the one that possessed her at the end, right? So that's really where a lot of the negativity about the Ouija board, where it really started to, you know, fall from graces. It fell from its graces of the parlor room and ended up in people's closets. People were afraid of it.
Karen, I loved reading the history of the board, the talking board that you have in your book. You said a while ago that it came out after the great spiritualist movement. And as we've talked about many times on our show here, the spiritualist movement fell into disrepute with too many fraudulent people using it. And it is as common in England who took it up as you would find any normal, regular church here, Catholic, Protestant, you know, no matter what, they have those spiritualist churches in England. So it remained a viable religion, a viable philosophy, way of life, way of living, Whereas here, it just kind of died out, and there's just pockets of it around the United States of spiritualists. The thing that also got my interest is prior to the current, today's version of this divination tool, you said there it was almost like a bridge to a couple thousand years ago with what they were practicing there. And I found that interesting because that's also kind of gone by the wayside where, you know, certain religions do think of this as the devil's work, but it wasn't always the case, was it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can go back to when they used to practice theurgy or skiomancy. They part of their practice, and this is back just to the days of Plato and Socrates, and what they believed was part of your practice of merging with the divine one, the one mind, was a matter of learning to speak with spirits and communicate with what's beyond, or communicating with your own divine self that's connected back to source. So it was a very, it's always been such a natural process for people to do. And how I use the board, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more, is that I'm connecting back a lot of it to my higher self or to spirit beings or consciousness that are beyond just dead people. So I really look at it in the light of a lot of those mystery religions and traditions who used their practice of divination on that level to really learn who they are deep inside and what their connection is back to source.
You said it was used by esoteric Christians back in the day. And I'm sure with all of the changes that went on in the church, there was a point in time, quite a few hundreds of years ago, where the church said, you know, you are not to do this. This is the devil's work. But there was a point in time, as you're saying, where the divination tools were used really with two purposes that you laid out. One, to talk to your higher consciousness, your higher self, and the other, to connect with the other dimensions, connect to the spirit world and have that communication as well. So I thought that was interesting that in the history that you showed how it was 2,000 years ago and how it is today. And are you still finding that people look at the talking board as something negative, or do you have a sense that more people are using it the way they might use tarot cards or astrology or numerology or other kinds of divination?
I think what I'm finding is people are using it more and more, and they always have been, but they remain in secret. Since I've come out talking about this on the radio and shows such as yours, people write to me and they tell me about their experiences and the boards they've created for themselves. Sometimes people don't like the look of the Ouija board, although I do. I collect all kinds of Ouija boards. I love the look, but some people don't. And so they create their own. They're sending me photos of that. And they're incredible. I'm just amazed at people's talent out there and what they're coming up with. But people are doing it. They're using it kind of still in an underground, mysterious way. Like everybody had to go underground, you know, with the Christians when they came out and told everybody they were blasphemous and wrong for speaking to spirits, that only they could do that. It was reserved for the few elite, patriarchal of some churches, where it's not. And so, but I find people are doing it privately. They're coming out and talking more about it, but still, I think there's still that fear around it a little bit, that they don't want people to judge them, and I think that's a big part of it. I have been doing this, I said, for over 40 years now. I'm in my 42nd year, actually, if we're counting, and I didn't tell a lot of people. Just people in my close circles knew, for that whole idea that it would be considered either what are you doing? That's crazy. Or just, oh my gosh, that's devil's work. And I didn't want that judgment on me because I knew what I was doing and I knew the work I was getting from this incredible tool. And so I was really private about it until I just came out a couple years ago with it. And what's interesting you bring up, Suzanne, is my third book I'm working on right now is about how the Ouija board is used more in a mystical and esoteric way, and I'm writing about it in combination with alchemy and how people can use this tool to transform their lives in addition to creating synchronistic events, really tapping into that matrix of all that is through such a tool and through opening themselves up to their higher self. So I'm getting more deeper myself personally into esoteric Ouija is what I call it. And people are writing to me and telling me they're using it on that level too, not just communicating with dead loved ones, although that's a beautiful thing too. It's communicating with these other consciousness beings that are giving them incredible information. When I write my books, they help me with my books. The first one, a lot. The third one, they're working more through me directly, like almost like a channeling. I just will call it that. And they're helping me with this, with what I'm trying to convey to in my book and the information I'm sharing. So there's so much more that meets the eye with this tool. And that's what I'm super excited to always share with people is the unlimited and infinite possibilities of communication when you start digging deeper into this spiritual communication.
You remind me of something that Ralph Waldo Emerson said, Karen. He said that our minds may be compared, particularly in their subconscious aspect, our minds may be compared to a universal ocean, with each individual mind being an inlet to and of that ocean. If we have access to it, we have access to universal mind and all the thoughts and creativity that it contains. Well, that's a pretty exciting thought, and it also puts me in mind of the notion that there are probably as many ways, nuanced ways, of accessing the higher mind, accessing other dimensions and universal mind, as there are people making the attempt.
I concur with you 100%. That's a beautiful analogy that it is like an ocean, and there is that we are inlets, and we tap into it. We go into it, and it's all through our imaginal realm. It's all through the realm of this higher self, of our own spark within, that's a reflection of the larger spark. And so when you work with this, you can do it with many other tools. It's just one little inlet, one little pathway. But I find it works really well for me and has for quite a few other people, that this is a way to really get back in touch with yourself. Who you are within, the greatness within. Although it sounds like I'm talking to spirits out there. Yes, I am. But they remind me to come back in and find the answers within. So it's really a kind of a beautiful interplay between higher, larger consciousness that we're all a part of, and then my own internal consciousness to, as you said, tap into great levels of creativity and ideas and concepts and personal growth, evolution. I call it soul making. It can be very soul making, the information you receive. But yeah, it's infinite what we can do when we start tapping into this consciousness.
We are talking with Karen A. Dahlman, author of The Spirits of Ouija, 4 Decades of Communication. We're going to go ahead and take a brief break right now. And when we come back, we have many more questions to ask her about the talking board. So stay with us. You're listening to Manson Mitchell on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Preceding audio was via a Skype call.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to mansonmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Sign up for early notice about future shows on a spam-free listserv. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Manson Mitchell show page at facebook.com/mansonmitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is mansonmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 AM or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Susan Harmon, inviting you to join me for the Susan Harmon Hour. Every Friday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Expect surprises, fun, and information from a wide variety of guests sharing their views on up-to-date issues from a spiritual perspective. Again, that's the Susan Harmon Hour. Every Friday at noon on Alternative Talk 1150. Smile on your brother,
everybody gets together. Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio, Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
And the word of the hour is Ouija. I've been calling it Ouija my whole life, so I've just improved myself by listening to our guest of this hour, Karen A. Dahlman. Ouija, it just sounds more sophisticated that way. And if that's the word of the hour, then I have to wonder about the interdimensionality of using a Ouija board, or a talking board as it's known more generically. Karen is our guest on the phone with plenty of answers to our to questions which won't even scratch the surface. We're going to fill this hour and there will be plenty more for a second visit. But let me jump in this segment, Karen, by asking you, when you work with spirits, when you work with guides, the wise ones, whom have you designated, for example, as a kind of gatekeeper who can make sure that the right influences are approaching and who can help you to determine exactly with whom you are communicating? That's the dangerous aspect of it. When I'm putting it out there, who's talking back?
And this is a really important point. And a lot of people who are working with this tool write to me about this specific point, because I tell them it's critical that you have a gatekeeper. I call it maybe my mistress or master of ceremony, my bouncers, I've called them. It's somebody on the other side who you've developed a relationship with that at a consistency that you trust are going to work on that side to only allow certain energies to come through and also to moderate the conversations. Sometimes there's a lot of spirits that see there's an opportunity, they see a light, and they kind of, they're like moths to the flame. They come to it and they want to communicate because it's been like forever. They've been, some of them are stuck or they're earthbound. But what I did in the beginning is I fell into this. There was no book, there was no rules and instructions of how to use Ouija. I was very fortunate. So I had friends on the other side already who were helping me. And I had a friend, and it's in my book, and her name is Wilma Jean. And she actually was a person who lived, and then she died and been dead for quite some time. She came through and was just a gentle soul. And quickly she served that function for a good, 15 years at least. But it was time for her to move on. It was time for her to evolve to her next lesson. On the other side, which very well means new incarnation. And so she had to leave, and it was time for her to go. And it was sad, but others stepped in. And over the years now, I have quite a few that have been with me for 20 plus years, a pair in particular who I speak with all the time. And I just call them the sun and the moon. They're truly androgynous, ethereal beings. They've never been born in a corporeal body. They never had a physical existence in our terms, but they are light beings, And they don't have that. They just have energy about them. I call them the sun and moon because that's where they enter the board. One enters on the sun side and one enters on the moon side. So I like that because it's also about the balance of energies, the sun with the moon, the masculine, the feminine. I do a lot of writing about that and a lot of work about that. So it made sense for me to call them that. But they came through, and now they're pretty much my moderators. There's been others throughout the years, but they're the main ones now. My angels serve that function as well, too. But she's taking a little bit more of a backseat as these two have really been stepping in and helping me with my books and some of my own personal growth. So they have big friends in big places, and they're very good at holding that space for me on the other side.
Karen, Gary talked earlier about playing with the board as a game. And I had a similar experience when I was young, and my girlfriend across the street got one, and she and I sat together, and I kept accusing her of moving the planchette. You know, you're moving it, you're pushing it. She insisted she was not, and she thought I was. Her aunt finally came down, excuse me, to where we were playing and said, "That's not anything to be played with." And she took it away from us. She was a very devout Christian person and felt like we shouldn't have been playing with the spirit world. As an adult and thinking about it today, and we're talking about it being as a tool of divination, I guess I would have to agree that it's not anything to be played with. And since Gary and I have made the acquaintance of a number of mediums and people who channel the spirit world, we're familiar with the fact that the people that we know will oftentimes pray. They will get themselves right, clear, in the light, and very positive before they begin a mediumistic session. And you say something similar in your book about Ouija, or, you know, how it is that you can match up your vibration with what it is you're bringing in. So I wanted you to say a little bit about your spiritual life as it relates to working with the board.
Yeah, that's another real critical piece to have in place, your own practice of spirituality while you work with this tool. I agree. This is not a game. It's not a toy. Although I got it from Santa Claus when I was 8 years old, and you know, I don't think my family knew what they were giving me. We were Catholics, and I just thought it made sense because now they always talked about talking in tongues or talking to spirits, your guardian angel. I thought, well, now I could get to talk to them. This is really revolutionary. And, you know, Not everybody believes that, but I do agree that it's not a toy. You know, it's nothing you play with. It's a very serious tool. You're working with serious energies, and you don't always know what you're getting when you go outside of this realm that we exist in. You don't know. And so I always say, just what you brought up, is that you have to have a spiritual practice in place. You need to really have a sense of who you are, your center of yourself. Now, that's actually a process you do throughout all of life. You're always trying to get to that level of, who am I? And can I count on myself? Can I trust myself? Just the fact that you have that in place and you're working towards that is what is required. So I have like 13 steps that I put together that I use every single time I do a session. And not to go into them all, but I think one of the most important things to do is to really create an ambiance in which you're doing this session that is one of reverence, sacredness, and there's respect. So there's respect for everybody in the room. There's respect for the spirits, the communication. There's a sense of reverence for that, and you make it into a sacred space. So you go into a part of your room, and you might light a candle. You might burn some incense or sage, and you say a prayer. You do some breathing exercises. You take your frequency to a level that will attract to you that like frequency. In fact, they tell me all the time, everything is vibration. Their vibration, I'm vibration, flowers vibration. The only thing that separates us is our frequency. So it's the rate of our vibration. Their vibration is so quick. It's not contained in a realm of time-space continuum that we're used to. It's so beyond that. So I have to really work at raising my vibration, and then they will come and meet mine. And it took a while to be able to reach some of these levels of consciousness with whom I'm communicating. It takes that time and consistency and dedication to my own practice. Meditation works really well for this. Meditating, clearing out your mind, and allowing yourself to go into a space of clarity, of getting rid of some of those weird thoughts that are always going on, chatter in our head all the time, and slowing down. By doing that, you open up a space within yourself that can receive. You're more receptive and you're more open. And then always having the prayer and always doing the breathing exercise allows us to get in that space where we can bring them in. So yeah, it's a great preparatory time to doing this that you have to put in before you even start with the board. Before I even put my fingers on that planchette, this goes in place in practice every time.
Karen, this is fundamental to mediumship itself. The part where you said we have to raise our vibration and those in the other realm, on the other side, popular term, have to lower their vibration just for us to be able to meet in the middle.
Yeah, so true. And in fact, the spirit guides, the sun and moon that I'm talking about now, they're really a very high vibration. And when they come through, I'm actually energized from the communications. I get very centered with it because I'm already working to center myself to bring in that energy and also raise my vibration. They come through that channel, but what's really fascinating about them, when they work the board and they're spelling, they will leave out words once in a while and they go pretty quickly on the board. And I ask them why, and they said, because we really don't spell. We do packets of information, like downloading a software program. That's how we communicate with you. So this is kind of antiquated and archaic to communicate this way, but we know the importance of this for you. So that's where they'll work with me that way. They do work with me in other ways. They do. I can hear them. They come through and I can channel them in other ways as well. But this has just been a tool that I've always used, and that's how they first came through. But yet they will leave out words because it's really a download of information. It comes so quickly and they have to slow themselves down to just even communicate with us. It's really quite fascinating.
You know, Karen, there's a common phrase, as above, so below. And when you're talking about vibrations and frequencies, and you're saying that you want to get a match with a very positive frequency that is going to bring in the right information, it really puts me in mind of how we do this even on this side. If we are meeting people, there are people with whom we resonate here in the physical because somehow there is a very common frequency, whether the frequency has to do with friendliness or success or some aspect of our being, maybe they're spiritual people, where we will meet them and we will feel that same kind of vibration from them. Interestingly enough, if you meet somebody who is very dissimilar to you, if you are an honest person and you meet a very dishonest person, you're not going to resonate with them. Something about that will be very off-putting to you. You'll say, I'm not sure why I don't like him or her. I just don't. And if you don't have that same frequency, you don't want to be getting involved with somebody who's very negative on this side, a con artist or a thief or a murderer. You know, they will be vibrating at a different frequency here in the third dimension. So, of course, they're going to be vibrating at a different frequency on the other side. Don't you think that's true?
Absolutely. 100% yes. And this work, what we're talking about, is a great example of how we should live our lives in terms of working with our own vibrations at all times. I find it fascinating when you start looking at your energy and people in your life you meet, like you just said. This is our way to have an internal barometer to know when something's right for us and something may not be wrong for us. I know things really aren't black and white, but it gives us an opportunity to say, I'm going to trust my gut here or my intuition because it's not resonating. That's what's happening, and that you're absolutely right on that. On the other side, when somebody dies, doesn't make them all of a sudden all-knowing and all-seeing. In fact, those that become earthbound, that are in the lower astral levels who may not go on for many, a myriad of reasons. It could be because they're afraid, they felt like they're a bad person in life, or they're afraid of the light, or just they're stuck in their life. They're still tied to somebody or a home or something. And just because they're on the other side doesn't make them all knowing and all seeing. And I say, that's always my number one warning, is you don't trust blindly anything that you communicate with through the board. Now, having said that, you got to remember now, I've been doing this for so many years, it takes a while to build up some trust. And over time, you know, in the beginning, it's just you're just learning to use it. But over time, you do begin to build relationships with these spirit beings because they've been consistent with you. And it is through consistency. And it's also as you fine tune your own vibration, your own frequency, you begin to know when something's right or wrong again. Like we mentioned in living in this dimension that we live in, and also in other dimensions. It use it as your barometer. It tells you when something's right or wrong. And as we develop that, we start attracting other beings to us. And what I find too in life, as we shift our energy level that we're talking about here, people fall out of your life as well. And that's not bad. It's not good. It's just say that just means there's change. And change is a way of saying, okay, you are growing in new ways. And sometimes you have to move on with where your life was to do that. And so it's just, that's how it works on your side too. I have grown out of some of those spirit relationships too. It was time to let them go because it was time to go to another level, another dimension. And I don't necessarily see it as higher or lower. I see it more like spiral rings that spiral out and you go into a larger set, a larger subset of a larger set, and you move out in these realms as you start communicating with all these different frequencies.
Karen, before we go to break in a couple of minutes, I'm just curious enough to ask how, and I can see you holding a fly swatter, how is it that you deal with what you have termed errant spirits? That's one of the names you have for them. I would just call them a damn nuisance. Spirits who come in and they want to raise a ruckus. They serve the purpose of the trickster or the poltergeist, and they interfere with communications that for you should be meaningful and healing and evolutionary. But for them, it's a chance to come in and play and maybe hang around your home afterward. How do you deal with them?
Well, okay, so yeah, there's definitely rules I have, and I use my spirit friends on the other side. We have these rules that nothing can come in my room at night while I'm sleeping. If there's something that wants to communicate with me, it has to wait its turn. And so I don't typically get all these errant spirits, although I did run into a spirit not too long ago in Mexico, but she was lost and wandering, and I was able to help her. Her story's in the book, if you remember. That's about Teresa and her daughter, Sturmy. So they do come in every now and then, and what I find is with people in life, everybody wants to be heard. Everybody just wants to be acknowledged. And I find if I don't go into a space and go, who's there? What do you want to tell me? You're evil. Or if I just say, what's your message when they come through and if it's gibberish or it's just silly, it's going nowhere, I'll say, thank you very much. I'm going to say goodbye now. Thank you for coming through. And if when you can get the words formulated, somebody can help you, come back through and I'll talk to you then. I really just treat them like respectfully. And I find that they go away. They don't linger around. Sometimes when I'm using the board, a spirit will come through and says, I just wanted to say hi. You know, I've had that happen so many times. I just wanted to come through and say hello. I wanted to see if I can use this tool. And this is what I'm doing. And it's as simple as that. They just do a drive-by, I call it. But there are others that come through and they sometimes want to mess around. But I don't allow it. You know, the cool thing about when you use this tool, you're in charge of the board. You're in charge of this communication. So you really need to, that's what I'm saying, respect yourself, respect others, respect the space, respect the spirits. And if it doesn't work, it's not right, put it away. It's all you have to do is close it, put it back in the box in the session and walk away from it. That's all you need to do. And that's your way of putting a stronger signal out that it's only okay to communicate with you when it's of a different nature, the nature that you're going for in terms of a higher vibration. That's it.
Karen, I'm impressed by the fact that you are in control of the process and you try to keep and succeed, it sounds like, in keeping the communications spiritually and ethically clean. I'm very impressed by that. And man, would I love to sit down at a Ouija board with you sometime. I hope that happens. Suzanne and I and you and guiding us, it would be worth a try. Although, believe me, I'm related to people who think that, first of all, Manson Mitchell are doing a demonic show. And I always say, if I'm doing it right. But then when it comes to the metaphysics and it comes to divination and so forth, I love to explore. I'm not afraid of it. And I certainly would not treat it as a toy. This is a subject for people who want to take spirit communication seriously and not treat it as a parlor game. So, Karen, hang in there a couple of minutes. We've got one more break to take. And when we come back, I'd like to hear some of your stories. With us, it's all about the stories here in Talk Radio, and you've got plenty of them in your book, which, again, is called The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication. Karen A. Dahlman is our guest, and we will have more questions for Ms. Dahlman, finding out what the spirits had to say and maybe how lives were changed in the process when we come back to Manson Mitchell. You're listening to AM 1150, Seattle's home of alternative talk. We'll be right back.
Preceding audio was via a Skype call.
Attention, natural and holistic business owners. For a limited time, Seattle Natural Awakenings is offering 2 free calendar listings per month with the purchase of a directory listing. Your listing will be printed in Seattle Natural Awakenings magazine and distributed to over 50,000 local readers interested in sustainable and healthy living. This package offers huge savings along with powerful promotion for your event or business. Don't delay. This offer expires soon. Call 425-350-5448 to get started or visit us at seattleawakenings.com.
Why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Having trouble finding Connor's middle school? Would you like directions?
No, why is Connor having trouble focusing in school?
Finding lowest airfare to Istanbul.
No, I'm tired of fighting with him over homework.
Home, walk, restaurant. Need a review?
No, I need help. He's very smart, but his mind wanders. He's disorganized.
I think I understand.
Oh, good.
Finding best potatoes for French fries.
No!
Russet, fingerling, Yukon gold.
Why don't you understand me?
Sorry, I was trying to show how Connor feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org.
I'm Gary Mance.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
We bring a unique talk radio blend your way every Friday and Saturday on 1150 KKNW.
From pop culture to the paranormal, you get variety in a conversational style.
Whether it's UFOs or ESP, angels or the afterlife, Bigfoot or your big dreams, everything is fair game on our show.
Join the A-Team of Alternative Talk Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on the station that leads the pack without following the herd. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Well, that was special.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell. ABC 123, it's all on the Ouija board. And our guest, Karen Dahlman, she knows all about the Ouija board. And Karen, this is a time in the interview where we want to make sure our listeners can connect with you online. You've got a couple of books and maybe even a third one on the way that you were talking about. So spill the beans. How can people connect with you?
Well, they can find me at my website, which is KarenADahlman.com or CreativeVisionsPublications.com. And I have the books are on Amazon. You can get them at any of your bookstores. You can get it in Kindle. And you can get autographed copies directly from my website. Check out the website because I also show all the shows I've done. But also it tells you what's coming up for next. And so I've got a big conference that we're doing on Ouija in Baltimore, Maryland. That's coming up in April. The dates are there. You can still get tickets. My new book is coming out. It's called The Spirit of alchemy, esoteric Ouija, mysticism, and magic. And we're getting into a lot of this esoteric, Gnostic, Hermetics, the alchemist, and their use of the of using this divine tool of theurgy to communicate with their divine selves. And I share my story of Ouija throughout that, but it's definitely an advanced Ouija that this book will be getting into. And so it's really, I'm excited to release that book here. It's coming out in April, but you can come to my website. You can get on my mailing list by filling out the contact form. And also find me on Facebook and Twitter, just social media, Karen A. Dahlman. I'm everywhere.
And just for the benefit of anybody with a pen and paper in hand, Karen A. Dahlman. Dahlman is spelled D-A-H-L-M-A-N. So I want to make sure everybody's got the right spelling of your name.
And if you're a YouTubeologist, get on YouTube and you'll find several lengthy, in fact, interviews with Karen Dahlman that are quite fascinating and detailed. So there is that resource as well. Karen, I just wanted to ask you, and I was hoping to hear some stories here, and I think we're going to have time for one or two, but I did want to ask you, I'm going into my creative mind, and believe me, I have no skills in the artistic realm or carving or anything like that at all, but I can imagine someone going out and either creating or buying a Ouija board that could actually become something of a coffee table or perhaps carved out of a tree stump, like roadside art, the way that in the Pacific Northwest, you'll get a skilled guy with a chainsaw and he'll carve Bigfoot out of a tree stump. Have you run across these where they're actually a part of a stump or a table where you could have it right in front of you and sit down at it with a planchette anytime you wanted to engage in Ouija?
Absolutely. In fact, just the other day, it's very great timing synchronicity. Somebody sent me a picture of a board they're working on, and it was from this wood, beautiful tree, and these trees were already laying down, and they found it and they cut it, and they're making it into this incredible huge Ouija board. It's just beautiful. All the rough edges and the inside's going to be all burnt and carved out in it. So that's a gorgeous one. There's a thing on the internet where you can actually buy a Ouija coffee table. It looks like a planchette. No, that's not to move around. It's too big. But I have all my boards out on display, except for the one I use regularly. That one I keep in a special box. But they're all out on display in my house, and it's like artwork because they're quite beautiful. So I can always pull it down and use it. I typically have sessions set where it's not just spur of the moment, because it's about anticipation, getting our questions together, and approaching this a ritual or a ceremony. So yeah, I have boards all over the place, but people do too. And people make these incredible pieces of artwork that I've seen and sell them and sometimes just keep them for themselves. But I've seen many different times of Ouija boards, even a board that was made out of paper, but then they laminated it and roll it up in a tube and they travel with it and unroll it and there it is. And they use a disc like a CD and it moves around. You just put your hands on that CD and it moves around. You can make them out of almost anything. And it really can be very creative, what I've seen.
I've got to take a look at some of that. Man, I'll probably find one on eBay. I think that would be great.
Will.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you for that. Karen, we have about 7 or 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. Is there a story or two that you can tell concisely about perhaps somebody who consulted the Ouija board in order to get advice about a situation and thereby was spared some sort of disaster or given perhaps profitable advice about some venture in their lives?
Yes, there's been many times of that. In fact, people will come to my open message circles because they want to communicate typically with a loved one they lost, and they might want that parental advice still about what they can do with their lives. But I'd love to tell you a story about change and hope and about feeling closure on grief through this process of communicating with a loved one. And this story happened quite a few years ago. It's in my book. But it's a story that happened, which was a turning point for me that really made me look at this tool in a whole new light, that it wasn't just talking to dead people and this is what we can do. And it became so much more than that. And I realized it had such deeper implications. So the story goes like this. I was back in college, and there was a group of my girlfriends who were like, what are you doing with this board? It doesn't work. This is silly. We don't believe in it. If it does work, it's evil. And I said, no, come here and I'm going to show you. So I did this, and I don't do this anymore. There's no reason to prove anything anymore, but we were blindfolded. Myself and my partner who operate the board were both blindfolded. We had a different size board. It was a larger one from like the 40s and 50s than the typical small board that came out in the 70s, which is when I have. Another gal was the scribe who did the writing. We were blindfolded and we didn't even ask questions. We just let the thing move because back then I didn't know really how to prepare for a session. I've always been very fortunate. So the planchette started moving. It moved like rapid fire, just hitting the letters. And I had no idea what it's spelling. Everybody in the room, there's like eight of us. We're just sitting there quiet going, oh my God, how's this working? And not everybody knows what it's spelling other than the person writing. She knows a little bit what's happening, but the letters are coming so quickly that you really have to wait till you're done to get all the formation of the word. It went and went and went and went, and all of a sudden it stops. And then I hear this kind of crying sound. I'm like, are you guys okay? They're like, yeah. And then I pull my blindfold off. So does my partner. I said, please read what was just written. And it was the most amazing message. It said, I always change people's names, so it's not the real name. Dear Layla, this is your sister. I want you, mom, dad, and other sis to know that I'm okay. When that car wreck happened, I died on impact. I felt no pain. My boyfriend's here too. He feels no pain. Please let them know that. Also tell them that I love you and I will always be with you as we've always been. And I'm waiting for you. And know that love transcends and it's forever. And one more thing, the only pain we feel is that you guys still carry this burden. And the only pain we feel is when you worry about us. Other than that, there is no pain for us. And everybody in the room started crying. Oh my goodness. The gal it was for, she just emotionally wept so deep, the kind that rattles your body. And I sat there going, oh my goodness, what did I do? What happened? And there was not a dry eye in the room. Nobody spoke. And all of a sudden I thought, I got to say something. And I just felt moved to say, okay, this is the power of this tool. Life continues on, and it's important for us to know that. And I said, from this moment forward, this tool will be used for those levels only to explore the continuation of life. And it's not a parlor game. It's not a trick anymore. It totally changed my view on this tool. People left that room not wanting to talk about it ever again, but nobody dismissed that just didn't happen. The gal did tell her family. They very much felt an emotional release. They believed it. And one of the gals I'm still in touch with who was in that session, and she wrote a little bit about that session in my book. And it's interesting because to her, that was the most important thing she took away from the board too, was that one session. So, and this is like 28 years ago when that session happened. And it's still that prevalent in our minds.
That's a very powerful story, Karen. You know, that you didn't know that information and you were blindfolded, so it just came through. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's pretty evidential that it was the sister with all of those details that were in there.
Oh, and this is the part I didn't share. I didn't know she had a sister who died. Everybody in that room, only one gal knew. The rest of us did not even know she had a sister that died several years earlier. She never disclosed that.
In spiritualist terms, I would call that strong evidence, the evidential, as it's known in the spiritualist world. Now, in the Christian world, and I'm beating this dead horse, so I'll shake your head, Suzanne. I want to bring this up to Karen and see what she has to say about it. You tell a story like that, you put it in a book. I mean, I'm related to people and know many, many others who would say to you to your face, see, that's how Satan reels you in. He gives you information that he knows, or his demons are out to get you. And of course, they have to give you something that will win your confidence so they can get their clutches on you.
Right. And what I say is, this is why it's important you have a spiritual practice in place. My barometer that day of what I knew to be truth was felt within. And every single buddy in that room felt that. And nobody walked away saying, this is satanic. This is the work of the devil. Everybody walked away changed. In a positive manner. and especially the gal who got the message. So I always look at, what are the implications and ramifications of these messages? Does it leave somebody, when they leave the session, do they feel like there's more clarity? Is there more of an awareness? Is there an opening into something positive?
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I like that too, Karen. And when Gary and I talk, we have witnessed, you know, quite a number of mediums and psychics. And one of the things that we say when we walk away is, was it positive? If the message is positive, if it's life affirming, if people are healed, then to me, that's the real deal. If it's negative, if people feel bad in some way, if they feel disconnected, then that's when I say that's a lower vibration. I don't want to say devil's work, but you know, that's a lower vibration entity that isn't really, you know, helping people with their soul's growth. And so that's a good barometer to use is how do people feel when it's over?
And if healing and love are expressed in a Ouija session and Satan's behind it, then the devil needs a new career.
Right. He's not that effective anymore, is he?
And thank goodness for that.
He's been demoted.
He definitely demoted and possibly even fired. So be that as it may, I wanted to say once again, Karen, a real pleasure to have you on our program. We would love to talk to you again when you can find the time. Your book in particular that is relevant to this hour, The Spirits of Ouija, Four Decades of Communication, Karen A. Dahlman, and again, as Suzanne pointed out, D-A-H-L-M-A-N. And you have a book in the pipeline that we'd love to talk to you about. Once again, your website if people want to interact with you.
It's KarenADahlman.com or CreativeVisionsPublications.com. And thank you both for having me. What an enjoyable hour this has been. Really insightful questions and comments. I loved it. Thank you again.
Thank you, Karen. And stay tuned tomorrow, 10 o'clock. We'll be back and do this one more time, won't we, Gary?
2 hours, Manson Mitchell weekend style. But don't change that dial. Don't hit those presets.
You got two great shows coming up.
That would be Christine Upchurch.
And Susan Harmon.
Good way to kill a couple of hours on a Friday. So do that, and we will catch you on the radio tomorrow. In the meantime, have yourselves a great start to your weekend, everybody.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.